weeks to us. I guess the place that I want to start is just to, well, I'm here representing RedWatch. It's been over the last 3 years that we've been going on central levelling, we've had a range of different voices around the table with urban growth. And I guess out of that there's been a fair level of frustration that people don't feel as though they've been listened to. So while I'm the one up here speaking from RedWatch, we've had the Chippendale Interest Residents Group doing stuff out of the Chippendale area. You've had AA, Alexander Residents Action Group, doing stuff in Alexandria. You've had Friends of Erskineville working in that area. We had a group earlier on working on in the Darlington area called RAID, but now there's a new group there called Stealing Our Skies that are looking at what's happening in the North Everly site. And that's just around the... Because the last 2 years, the discussion has just been around the railway corridor, and the public housing side of stuff hasn't been on that agenda. It only started to appear on the maps about 6 to 12 months ago. And that was when we started to see the inkling that they were actually headed into that direction. And that opens up a whole new range of groups that have a particular interest in that, because while around the rest of the Central Levelling Corridor you have communities of, in the inner city you've got lots of people with lots of skills, when you start looking at public housing you have people that don't really engage with the planning system and don't really have much of an understanding of what's happening and are very suspicious about government. And when we went through the built environment phase two discussions, we found that there really needed to be a lot of resourcing done for public housing tenants. And they've basically been left out of this discussion. So this urban transformation strategy that Urban Growth have been working on is basically being put together with the owners and occupiers around the bulk of the railway corridor, but hasn't really engaged at all with the public housing tenants. And that's the area where we have a particular concern. Now you've got your neighbourhood advisory board, you've got a tenants group that you'll hear from Richard in a few minutes, but you've got all the agencies that are also dealing with people walking through their doors. And those people basically were told that this was going to happen at the midway through December, just as the agencies were closing up for Christmas. And really 6 months down the track, they know little more than what they actually knew when that announcement was made. And I guess that's the problem that we've got right across the corridor with urban growth. But it's not dissimilar from what we had with the Redfern Waterloo Authority, is that all this work happens behind closed doors. And it's worthwhile remembering that over the last 12 years, there have been many studies done into this area, and they are not on the public record. I think, for example, the work that was done by the Redfern Waterloo Partnership Project, their RED strategy, that actually formed the basis for setting up the Redfern Waterloo Authority. And some of that study was actually linked to the Sydney Morning Herald, and we saw that in 2004, and we got an inkling of that. But try as we might to get that material released, including the stuff on public housing, we were unsuccessful. The Redfern Waterloo Authority, during its time, undertook many studies. I mean, it did a design study, a design competition, for example, for North Everly, but none of that was ever released to the community. They just used that as a way of appointing the people to do the master plan. They did the master plan, and that's being revisited because urban growth wants to push those densities up. We've had an urban study that was done by the Sydney Metropolitan Authority when they took over from RWA, and none of that's been made public. We had work that was done by a housing master plan, which was federally funded, and again, when Land and Housing Corp did that, it was never released. That was reviewed along with the revised BEP2, which we never saw the revision of, and that was looked at by the government architect. And somewhere in that process, government decided that it didn't make sense until we came up with this proposal for a metro station. And there are all these studies that have been done about community facilities, about what is proposed and what's been looked at in terms of options as to whether or not the high-rises on public housing estates get kept and are they viable or are they not. And none of that information is available to the public. None of it's in the public domain. And we're in a situation at the present moment where consultants have been working on the proposals for the Waterloo public housing estate. And again, that information hasn't even been released to us, that in fact those studies are going on. So one of the problems with this is that you have people that have tried to engage in this conversation with urban growth go away feeling as though they're not being listened to. And one of the things that we need to do if we're going to actually get some movement from government is we have to make the message loud and clear that there are issues that need to be addressed. And I guess one of the things that's really useful about council coming out and making the comments that they have in the last few weeks is that it actually goes to raise the very issues that have been raised by the community that the community hasn't really been taken seriously on. There needs to be a conversation about the sort of amenity that we're going to have. There needs to be a conversation about what's going to happen if you're going to have WestConnex channeling a whole pile of motor vehicles into the area, and we don't actually have a traffic study yet that's been released that talks about how all that growth and transport is going to be handled. It needs to deal with what's going to happen with people getting on and off at Erskineville Station. It needs to deal with a broad range of things like Redfern. So somehow we've got to have that conversation, and I think the community is looking to the city to work with it as well as to work as they have been trying to influence what urban growth does. Because one of the things that came out of the earlier discussion around one of the things that came out of the earlier discussion around the Australian Technology Park was that when the city put together their MOU with, or Urban Growth put together with the city, we argued that the city needed to both be outside the tent as well as within the tent. And when they came up with the proposal to sell off the Australian Technology Park, what we did was we went to the city and we said to the city, we want you to use your expertise to actually have a look at this issue so the community has the information to be involved in that conversation. The city did that, and I think that helped to deliver a much better outcome than what we would have had otherwise. And so as we look at this broad range of things that government wants to do in this area, we need to be able to get the information out in the public. We need to have the information and support from the City of Sydney so that we can actually take the issues that need to be taken to the government, and together we basically need to try and hold the government accountable so that what comes out ends up working for the community as well as for the government.
Thanks, Jeff. Now I'd like to invite Lachlan and Wilma to come up.